Okay, so we are starting and continuing Perek Aleph, Mishnah Aleph. And we said that the Reb Chaim Volozhiner's question in this Mishnah is that why does it say Moshe kibel Torah Mesinai u'masara liYeshua? Why does it say Moshe accepted the Torah, it was Mekabel, and then was Moser to Yeshua? Why doesn't it say Moshe kibel Torah Mesinai v'Yeshua kibel Torah Mesinai? Or it should say Moshe Hashem Masar Torah LeMoshe, and Moshe Masar LeYeshua. That's the question that Reb Chaim Volozhiner is dealing with in the first Mishnah, the Shinui Lashon between Moshe and Yeshua. So in the meanwhile, we started to explain a little bit how Reb Chaim Volozhiner compares a person's neshama to and the relationship between the neshama and the guf to a shoe. Right? That just like the shoe is only covering the very, very bottom of the body, our guf covers only the very bottom of the neshama. And our neshama is really one string up to Shemayim. It's connected all the way to Shemayim, and then the foot of the neshama is here in our guf. Our job in this world is to make sure that, obviously, the part of the neshama is a very spiritual thing, right? So the fact that the neshama is in a guf already probably, for most people, makes it very, very different, makes that part of the neshama very different than the part of the neshama that it's in Shemayim. The part that's in of the neshama that's in Shemayim is pure, it's with Hashem, it's purely spiritual. The part of the neshama that's down here is subject to everything that we've done with it in our guf. So we can make it tamei chas v'shalom, we can elevate it. And the more a person elevates it, the more a person elevates the neshama, and the more that a person lives with the neshama, the guf becomes less and less relevant. And the guf is not what the person's living for. And the guf is not what's making or breaking the decisions that the person makes. It's all about the neshama. To the point that you could reach the state that the closer you get that your neshama that's in your guf is actually very similar to the neshama that's all the way in Shemayim. Depending on how much you perfect yourself. Rav Chaim Volozhiner says like this. He says that Chazal say that Moshe Rabbeinu was the greatest of all prophets. And the Gemara brings a Lashon. And it says, first of all, when it wants to make a distinction between Moshe Rabbeinu and the other prophets, it says Moshe Rabbeinu was mistakel be'asfaklaria ha-me'ira. Moshe Rabbeinu was spoken to Hashem through a clear mirror, like this one, a clear mirror, whereas everyone else was spoken to Baspaklaya She'ena Mi'ira. It was a little bit tinted. It wasn't as clear as Moshe Rabbeinu. There's another thing that the Zohar says. The Zohar says the following. Avraham. You know, there's a few places in the Torah that a Kodesh Baruch Hu calls out to Avraham, and it says, Avraham. You know, but if you ever look in those places that it says Avraham, there's a line in the Chumash between the two places that it says Avraham, line, Avraham. By Moshe Rabbeinu, the Zohar says, Loi Pasek Taima Begave. There's no line between the name Moshe and Moshe. It doesn't say, it says Moshe, but it doesn't say a line in between. So this is a very peculiar Zohar. Like, that's the difference between Avraham and Moshe. The difference is that Avraham had a line between his two names and Moshe did not. What is the Zohar saying? Okay? And there's another Chazal, that it says Avraham Avinu was not as great as Moshe. By Moshe Rabbeinu it says, by Avraham Avinu he was very humble, but it says, Anoichi Afar Va'efer. Afar Va'efer means I'm dirt and ashes. It's pretty humble. I am dirt and ashes. That was Avraham Avinu's level. Anoichi Afar Va'efer. That's Avraham Avinu. But by Moshe Rabbeinu it says, Vanach Numa. What am I? I'm not even Afar Va'efer. So you see, I'm not even dust and ashes. I'm absolutely nothing. So that's the difference between Moshe Rabbeinu and Avraham Avinu. So what does all that mean? So the Reb Chaim Volozhiner explains the following. He explains that when a person has a name, the name refers to what it refers to the person on two levels. There's what the person really is. What's his shayrish neshama? What is the neshama of the person up in Shemayim? What is that shayrish of the neshama? That's the name of the person. When the person gives a name, he's not just naming the guy because, you know, he has a nice nose. know, yeah, you have good red hair, so we'll call you, you know, Rosie. No, when we're giving you a name, we're describing your Sherish Neshama. There's another thing that your name describes, which is the name also describes the way you are in this world. So really, the name is not sure where it is. On the one hand, the name should be describing the neshama, the way it's supposed to be, and the way it is. But then there's also a part of the name that's describing the way it actually manifests itself in this world. And the neshama in this world does not necessarily look very similar to what the neshama looks up there. Right? So by Avram Avinu was a tremendous, we obviously have no idea what Avram Avinu was. But Chazal say, Anoichi Ofer V'Efer, his guf was nothing, but it was Ofer V'Efer. It was dust and ashes. It means that there was something in the world. You could tell the difference between the part of the neshama that was in the guf and the part of the neshama that was in Shemayim. Not by much. You couldn't really, it was only Ofer V'Efer. It was like a sprinkle of ashes or a sprinkle of dirt. You know, when you put a sprinkle of dirt on the apple, you could still tell it's an apple. It looks exactly like the other apple, but there's a sprinkle of dirt on it. Avram Avinu was Ofer V'Efer. The guf was like a sprinkle of dirt on the apple. It's not like when you looked at him, you saw the guf, you saw the dust. No, when you looked at him, you saw the apple, you saw the neshama. He was pure neshama, but there was Ofer V'Efer. So by Avram Avinu, that there was Ofer V'Efer, so there was a line between the two times that we say his name, because one time that we say his name, it's referring to his name in Shemayim, what his real neshama looks like, and then there's the way the neshama looks in this world. There's a line in between, because it didn't match up 100%, because he was Ofer V'Efer. There was something about the guf that made a roshim, that made some sort of effect on the neshama. However, by Moshe Rabbeinu, there was no line between the two names. The same neshama that Moshe had in Shemayim was the neshama that he had in this world. Why? Because Moshe was v'nach numa. He had no guf whatsoever. The guf was like as if it did not exist. And therefore, when you saw Moshe Rabbeinu, all you saw was the neshama. And the neshama that Moshe Rabbeinu had was the same exact neshama that he had in Shemayim. There was no difference. No difference whatsoever. And that's why when Hashem gives nevuah to Moshe, he gave it to him ba'aspaklaria ha-me'ira. That means there was no... was a clear vision because he saw it with his neshama down here in this world, which is the neshama that you have in that world. You got a clear vision of Hashem up there. Everyone else is aspaklai or she'enamir. They don't see it so well because the little bit of guf that you have, the little bit of gashmias and of guf that you have makes it that your neshama down here can't see exactly. There's a little, as you're looking through on your glasses, you got like there's a little dirt there on your offer of afer. There's a little dirt on the glasses, so you can't see it perfectly. Only Moshe Rabbeinu was able to reach that level of nevuah. That's what the Zohar means, according to Chaim Haloshner, that the line between the two names. This is the fascinating concept of Chaim Haloshner, unbelievable. So when he says that's why Moshe Rabbeinu was the only Navi, right? We said yesterday, what's the difference between the prophecy of Moshe and the prophecy of all the other prophets? It says, we've had in this week's parasha, it says, "Tadaver Miriam ba'aron b'Moshe, v'yom harak ach b'Moshe dibar Hashem, haloy gam bonu dibar." He says, they say, didn't Hashem speak to all of the Nevi'im? And Hashem says, no, all other Nevi'im, ba'mara elov esvada, I appear to them in a mara. A mara means a mirror. There's something between us. But Moshe Rabbeinu pe el pe adaber boy, I speak inside him. In other words, I speak to his neshama. But everyone else, I don't speak directly to your neshama because there's a little bit in between me and your neshama. But Hashem says, Moshe Rabbeinu, that's why he says, the Pasuk says in last week's parasha, Balosva says, Moshe Rabbeinu is pe el pe, mouth to mouth, adaber boy. I speak in him. He should have said, adaber elov. I speak to him. Adaber bo is a very strange language. So Chaim Volozhiner says, it means adaber boy, I speak to inside him, in his neshama. That's where I'm connected to Moshe Rabbeinu. When I'm connected to Moshe Rabbeinu, it's to the neshama that's in his guf, because the neshama that's in his guf is exactly, can relate to Shemayim things, because there's no difference between the neshama that's in his guf to the part of the neshama that's in Shemayim. Whereas Avram Avinu, all other Nevi'im, they own b'mara. There was a mara in between. There's a little plaque in between. And b'chaloim adaber boy, I have to wait till they go to sleep. Because what happens when you go to sleep? The guf is out of the picture. So when you go to sleep, you put the guf to rest, and now I could speak to you. Moshe Rabbeinu didn't have to go to sleep. Because even when he was awake, the guf was out of the picture. So therefore, the body of Moshe Rabbeinu, the Gashmis, made no roshim on his neshama. Why? Because Moshe Rabbeinu, it says, Shal na'alecha ma'araglecha, like we said yesterday, when Hashem began speaking to Moshe, he said, take off your shoes. Remember? Take off your shoes and take off your guf that's covering the foot of your neshama. This is all kind of Lashner explaining this concept in the Zohar, explaining exactly what does it mean that Moshe Rabbeinu spoke to Hashem, Aspaklaria Shahami'ira, is clear vision, because he spoke to him in his neshama, and that was clear. Okay? So therefore, when Aaron and Moshe, when Aaron and Miriam complained to Hashem and says, why does Moshe Rabbeinu have to separate from his wife? And what about us? Why are we on that level of nevuah? So it's obvious. And Hashem says, you guys have a guf. You guys engage in this world. And then when you go to sleep, you put your guf to rest. Then I can speak to you. Moshe Rabbeinu does not engage in things of this world. Moshe Rabbeinu does not engage in this world at all. So he doesn't have to put his body to rest. When his body is a spiritual entity. Moshe Rabbeinu went up to Shemayim and lived 40 days without eating. No one else can do that. Mm-hmm. Moshe Rabbeinu's guf did not affect the way his neshama worked. And therefore, I could speak to Moshe Rabbeinu on a whole different level than I speak to you. So don't ask me, why did Moshe Rabbeinu separate from his wife and why don't I? All of, Moshe Rabbeinu is the only person that ever reached this level, even compared to Avram Avinu. Okay? So, therefore, after all this, this is Rav Chaim Volozhiner's first piece in the Sefer. It's unbelievable. Like, oh, wow. So he says, that's why it says Moshe kibel Torah miSinai. Moshe accepted everything he was taught from Hashem. Kibel, he accepted everything. Hashem teaches him Torah, he got the whole thing. But Masarali, he gave over everything he had to Yeshua. But Yeshua couldn't accept it the way Moshe got it. Because Yeshua had a guf, he was a different level. So Moshe kibel Torah miSinai, he accepted everything. And he gave it over. But Yeshua was not makabel it. Yeshua did not get exactly what Moshe had. Yeshua was one level lower. Yeshua was a level lower. He had a little bit of, so there was a hefsek. So therefore the Torah wasn't in that spiritual sense, like getting it straight from Hashem. When Hashem spoke to Moshe, he spoke to his neshama, no hefsek. So Moshe got everything that Hashem wanted to give him. Whereas Yeshua was not that way. Now, Noach Furman, who's on the call here, see, he showed me, or he told me to look, and I looked this morning, that there's a beautiful piece from the Or Gedaliah of Gedaliah Shor in Parshas Bullock. Very famous piece. As a matter of fact, Rav Shach brings down, in Avi Ezri, Rav Shach brings down a similar piece to this. But he says like this, he says, how could it be, after everything we're saying, Chazal say that, like Kambi Yisrael Kemoshe Oid, right? We say in Kambi Yisrael Kemoshe Oid, so that there's no one, no prophet in Israel like Moshe Rabbeinu. But Chazal say, but in the Goyim there is Bilam. Bilam reached that level. Bilam reached the level of Moshe. We're saying even Avram Avinu wasn't that in that level. The way we're describing the prophecy of Moshe Rabbeinu, is it possible to even contemplate Bilam HaRasha, that all he cared about was money and all he cared about was this world? And he reached the level of Moshe Rabbeinu, but none of that tzaddikim, Avram Avinu, it doesn't make any sense. What does that Chazal say? I mean, and then he asks another question. He said, how could it be that Bilam would think that Hashem would want to curse the Jewish people? Why would he think that Hashem would want to curse the Jewish people? So he says, Givaldi. He says like this. He says, by Moshe Rabbeinu, when Moshe Rabbeinu received the message, it was the message that Hashem gave him. Period. There was no interpretation necessary. He says, but every other Navi, there's a certain degree of interpretation necessary because the message is not so clear because it's going through a certain lens. So if you're wearing glasses and all you have on your glasses is a little bit of dirt, Anochi Ofer Ve'efer, like Avram Avinu, so it's basically clear. So you have a few little specks of dirt. I mean, you could still see the message pretty clearly. But if you have glasses like Bilam and your glasses are black, basically. So when you're getting a vision, what are you going to see? You're going to see it with the whole, you know, and what, right? What is the glasses? What determines how thick your glasses are? The level of your shayach to the guf, right? So he said, Avram Avinu, his level of shayach to the guf was off of Avram, basically nothing. But Bilam was like, his glasses were filthy, full of dirt. They were probably, so he said, look, Hashem will give me a prophecy. And maybe his prophecy is going to be light and beautiful and flowers, but I'm going to see it with my dirty glasses. It's going to be all black. So I'm going to be able to say everything that Hashem told me in terms of a curse, because it's going to go through my glasses. And since I'm a negative person, and since I'm full of gashmias, and I'm full of all my negias against the Jewish people, so when I get the prophecy and say, oh, you know, Jewish people, you know, have beautiful families, so I'm going to say we should curse the families, and it's going to come to me as a curse, and that's the way I'm going to say over the prophecy. So that was what he was thinking, Bilam. So he said, I'll get the prophecy, and the prophecy of all other prophets goes through them. So Hashem played a trick on Bilam. He said, no. For this prophecy, I'm going to do what I do for Moshe Rabbeinu. You're going to have to say exactly what I say. You're not going to have the opportunity to interpret it. I'm going to speak through you, and I'm going to give out my message. You're just, your goof is not even there for this. As far as this bracha is concerned, I'm not using you. So he says, that one time in history, Bilam reached the level of Moshe Rabbeinu. Hashem used him to pass the message through him straight the way it was given from Hashem. Just like Moshe Rabbeinu's nevuah was straight through the message of Hashem himself, and it went, and Moshe Rabbeinu didn't interpret it. It didn't go through his goof. It was his neshama saying exactly what Hashem said. This one time in history, there was one other time in history. Never in Israel did anyone ever, any prophet ever do that. But lo kam Yisrael, kemoshe od. But Bilam, one time in history, acted like Moshe when Hashem used him as a pawn and says, you know what, Moshe, Bilam, I'm not giving you the prophecy that I can usually give you. I'm gonna make it, you're just gonna be my microphone. And he said it straight through his body the way he says it to Moshe Rabbeinu. That's the Maral Diskin says pshat. That Maral Diskin, who was the Rav in Brisk, says that's pshat in that chazal, unbelievable pshat. And by the way, Rav Shach says that based on this piece from Maral Diskin, he now understands, says, you know, a lot of people ask the question, says, what's pshat that Avram, that we give so much reward to Avram Avinu for the miracle of the Akedah, for the Nisayon of the Akedah? He says, look, if Hashem spoke to you or I, and Hashem spoke to anybody, and he says, look, you have to shecht your son, maybe anyone would do it. It's not such a big chiddush necessarily. You heard it straight from, remember, Avram Avinu is a prophet. He heard it straight from Hashem, shecht your son. It's not like maybe not. So he says, no. So Rav Shach says, based on the Maral Diskin, because every Navi requires a certain level of interpretation. So he says, you know what? Avram Avinu could have said to himself, yeah, probably, you know, made a shtickle Torah. He wants me, like Eliphaz, right? Eliphaz, Esav sent Eliphaz to go kill Yaakov. So what does he say? So Yaakov says, he takes his money and Ani Chashav Kemes. So Mamei, it's like I killed you. So Avraham Avinu could have said, Hashem said, kill my son. Probably what he meant was make him poor, and that's like he killed him. So he could have interpreted it many ways. And he could have used his own body, his own negias, to interpret it. And Avraham Avinu rose above that and said, no, Hashem means literally. So he says, the fact that he was able to rise over that and interpret it the real way, that was the Nisayon. That's what Rav Shach says, based on this piece. But anyway, but this is what the Rav Chaim Volozhiner's principle. He says, this is the Nevuah of Moshe Rabbeinu, and this is why Moshe kibel Tor Sinai, but then he gave it over, but it stopped there. That level of clarity that Moshe Rabbeinu got, Yeshua didn't get that same level. Okay? So that's the concepts. All right.
Thank you, Ron.
Thank you. Okay. Thank you.